You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
I would like to invite us to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 14. I love this story of Jonathan and his armor bearer. And I want you to just for a moment picture what was going on in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and even in chapter 13. We know that the Philistines assembled 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen against the men of Israel. We know that when those men saw that they became very afraid and they began to hide. In fact, the Bible says that they hid themselves in the caves and the thickets and the cliffs and the cellars and the pits. So as war is getting ready to break out, we know that the Philistines had the weapons market monopolized. In fact, the text lets us know in chapter 13 that there were no blacksmiths. And in fact, those men of Israel didn't have a backbone. No bodies, no boldness, nothing was there. They're on the brink of war, they're afraid, they're hiding. And then here comes Jonathan. Jonathan with his armor bearer, who puts together not a covert military action, but an overt military action. I'll say something about that in just a moment. And he, in verse 6, he says something that always jumps out at me. When he says here to the young man who was carrying his armor, "Come and let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised." And then he says this one word here. He says in the New American Standard Version, "Perhaps." Perhaps. Perhaps. You know, that it just jumps off of the scriptures with me when I read this. Perhaps the Lord will work for us. "For the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few." Now, looking at this text here, and I'm going to pull in the surrounding context, I want to just talk about perhaps. That's what I want to talk about. Perhaps, and I pray that you would be encouraged. I pray that each one of us will be encouraged and know that at the end of the day, God has our back. So when we look at the context here, when we look at Jonathan, you know, I want to encourage us. Perhaps, number one, perhaps I should not be afraid when the odds are against me. Can we get an amen on that? It's simple. Perhaps I shouldn't be afraid when the odds are against me. And we do know the context. The odds from a human standpoint were certainly against Jonathan and this armor bearer. As we just mentioned, and even against Israel, you know, the 30,000 chariots, the 6,000 horsemen. I mean, everyone's afraid. And yet here is Jonathan saying, you know, perhaps the Lord will work for us. Perhaps I should not be afraid when the odds are against me. In fact, what we find in Jonathan is something that we pray that we will find in all of us. And it is simply fearless faith in the face of obstacles. Amazing faith, fearless faith. I mean, and Daddy Saul was somewhere doing what he should not have been doing. And look at the son Jonathan. Saying perhaps, you know, I see this for application. Perhaps we should not be afraid when the odds are against us. Secondly, perhaps we should be in a state where we will always remember that God wants to work out for us what we cannot work out for ourselves. Isn't that great? You know, it's a very simple text here. Perhaps we should not be afraid when the odds are against us. And perhaps the Lord wants to work out for me what I cannot work out for myself. Fearless faith. And Lord, work for me. Work on my behalf. Work out for me what I cannot work out for myself. Oh, I tell you what, we can just go back in the Bible and we can call on individuals. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait to get to heaven. And I cannot wait to talk with individuals who we read about in the Bible. Jonathan is saying, perhaps God wants to work out for you in your life today. Maybe you are in a situation today that you just don't know what you're going to do. You are in this circumstance that you don't know what you're going to do about it. And maybe the Lord is saying, perhaps you ought to turn it over to me. Perhaps God wants to work out for you what you cannot work out for yourself. And when we look in the Bible, we can call on so many different people. Come here, Moses. What do you have to say? Oh, Moses will say, perhaps God wants to work on our behalf. Don't you remember when he was at the Red Sea? And Moses would let us know, he would remind us how God parted the Red Sea. Oh, come here, Abraham. Abraham will tell us, you know what, perhaps God wants to work on your behalf. You do remember when Abraham went up to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son Isaac. And you know what? God provided a ram in the bush. Oh, he would say, perhaps God wants to work for us what we cannot work out for ourselves. Come here, David. What do you have to say? David would say, you know what? Perhaps God wants to work for you. You do remember David fighting Goliath and how he slew Goliath because of the strength and the power of God. Come here, Elijah. Oh, Elijah would let us know that perhaps God wants to work out in our lives what we cannot work out for ourselves. Oh, God is at work. And I want you to be encouraged this morning because God is a God who works on our behalf. Never give up on God. And again, even in this context, they were scared, hidden, and just afraid. And here we have Jonathan and his armor bearer. Jonathan is saying, perhaps God will work out for us what we cannot work out for ourselves. Fearless faith. Fearless faith. I love the movie True Grit. I love True Grit. And following the murder of her father, by the hired hand, Tom Chaney, 14-year-old farm girl, Maddie Ross, sets out to capture the killer. To aid her, you know, she hires the toughest U.S. Marshal she can find, a man with true grit, Reuben Rooster Cogburn. And listen to what she writes to her mother. I'm about to embark on a great adventure. I have learned that Tom Chaney has fled into the wild, and I shall assist the authorities in pursuit. You know that Papa would have me to be firm and the right way as he has always been. So do not fear on my account. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. The author of all things watches over me. And she says, she ends it by saying, and I have a fine horse. Oh, let me tell you something. Fearless faith, allowing the Lord to work out for us what we cannot work out for ourselves. And listen, we have more than a fine horse. We have the omnipotent, almighty God of the universe. Oh, my God, perhaps God wants to work for you what you cannot work out for yourself. And then third, I see something else here. Some encouraging words for me. Perhaps, y'all say perhaps. Say perhaps. Oh, listen. Perhaps I shouldn't keep God in my box. Dr. Pastor, I see this right here. Listen to what he says. He says again in verse 6, come, let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us. For the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few. You know what? Listen, perhaps the Lord wants us as his people to never and to cease if we are in this state of trying to put him into our little box and say, Lord, I need this amount to accomplish this task. Or Lord, if you would just work my agenda the way I want it worked, we'll have the victory. When we say, oh, you know what, God, I just have a few individuals, you know, perhaps in my local church, or I don't have the intellect, or I don't have the resources as others have, and I will never be able to do anything, and you will never be able to do anything with me and with what I have, because it's not enough. You know, perhaps the Lord is speaking to us to cease from putting our big God in our little boxes. God is God. You see, yes, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and Jonathan and his armor bearer. You see, God's mathematical analysis is a little different, you see.
Yes, sir. That's right.
6,000 horsemen, 30,000 chariots. You know, you would think on the human side that that would be a lot more than Jonathan, the armor bearer, and God. But with God and one person, that's the majority. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. God Almighty. Let's not restrain our Lord. And let's not say, you know, only God can work this way in our little box. And tradition can keep us it can keep us in a state of putting God in our boxes. You know, the story is told of a brother who he went over to his in-law's house for Thanksgiving dinner. And he noticed that before he left his house, his wife cooked a great meal, and his wife had the big turkey, you know, and she took the turkey, and she took the legs on the turkey, and she bent them almost to the point of breaking them and tucked them under the turkey, and she, you know, just squeezed it and put it into this little pan and then put it in the oven. And he said, baby, why do you do that? And she said, well, we're going over to Mama's house later on, and I got that from my mother. So when you go over there, you know, let's ask her. So they go over to the in-laws, and the son-in-law looks at the mother-in-law. She said, you know what? I noticed that, you know, my wife, when she cooks the turkey, she takes the legs and she bends them up under the turkey, and she squeezes it all together, and she puts it into this little pan, and she cooks it. And she said that she got that from you. And I was just wondering, why do you do that? Why did you do that? And she said, well, Big Mama's coming over later on. You know, Big Mama's grandmama. So Big Mama comes over later on. You know what? I got that from my mother, and let's ask her. So Big Mama comes in, walking on her cane, and she has the nice little, you know, older voice and, you know, scratchy voice, and the son-in-law goes and said, Big Mama, listen, my wife takes the turkey, she breaks the legs, bends the legs, she puts it up under, squeezes it, and puts it into this small pan. And I asked her, why does she do that? And she said she got it from her mother. And when I asked her mother said she got it from you. Why did you do that? And she said, baby, that was simple. I didn't have a pan big enough. And you know what? Here we are today with a huge God, a huge, mighty God who can do all whole incredible things, and we try to keep God in our little boxes. God is almighty. He can do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. The sovereignty of God is embedded in this verse. God is not restrained to save by many or by few. Ask Gideon that. By many or by few. I tell you what, a few people with the heart of God, with the passion of God, who prays to God, oh Lord, work on our behalf. The Lord can do wonders. He can do wonders. When I was in India last year, and I was literally in a box of a room. We went out to the village 3 hours outside of Bangalore. And my host said, listen, we're going to go out to the village and you're going to be preaching. And we were driving, 3 hours outside of Bangalore. We got to the village and we got out and it was this blue building. It was like a little box, a little blue building. And so I was so humbled because when I went in there, the people, they were on the ground and they had a chair that was quite utilized and it was in need, but it was the chair for the guest of honor, and I was the guest of honor. I was so humbled. And as they sat there and they sang, and I got up to preach, and I'm in this little box, no lights, just a couple of windows to let the light in. I started preaching from the Word of God, and I'm in this little box, I said, oh my gosh, Lord, I pray, God, that you would use me and bless me. And while I was preaching, midway through the message on my left side, I heard a bang, a rock. I said to myself, that sounds like a rock, and I know what rocks sound like, because I used to throw them as a kid. And so, I didn't pay it that much attention. And, I, on my right side, I was closer to the wall. And probably about a minute or so later, I heard a bang. Oh, another rock. I didn't know I had it within me to preach and pray simultaneously. I'll be honest, my heart started palpitating and I began to become extremely nervous. And then I remembered, perhaps God will take this situation. Here I am in India, a long ways from Texas, a long ways from my home. I didn't know if I was gonna live or die, but I said, oh God, I refuse to put you in a box. You are omnipresent. You are all powerful. And whoever's throwing rocks, Lord, I pray to God that you would touch their lives. I will not put you in a box, Lord. You are able to work even in the midst of this. The rocks ceased, and we gave the invitation, and several came down. One Muslim girl came, and I wish I could tell you she accepted Christ, but she did not, but she was asking so many questions about Jesus, wanting to know how to be saved. And I tell you what, I did not allow even the rocks. And I know some of us have people at church who would throw rocks at us. Some of us have rock throwers. Some of us have individuals that we want to keep God in our box and say, Lord, you have to work this way and only this way. God will do things in ways that will blow our minds. And perhaps he is saying, no matter where you are, no matter where you go, let him work and let him be God. Let him be God. We can't put God in our boxes. Last year, in 2013, I was invited to Black Church Week in North Carolina. And the Lord broke my heart when I was in Africa 3 years ago, and I began writing a new member's lesson on missions, and I was targeting African-American pastors and African-American leadership to get involved in global missions, and the Lord broke my heart there, speaking to all the missionaries, you know, and hearing their stories, and so I wrote this lesson. I began just writing and writing about missions and how we need to mobilize senior pastors, and I got invited in 2013 to Black Church Week in North Carolina. And I was so pumped up about this lesson that the Lord has gave me the right. And when we went there, you know, for the workshop, you know, and you have at least 1,000 people there, you know what I'm saying, at Black Church Week, I had 3 people in my workshop. 3. I didn't care. I was so excited, man. I taught that workshop. You know, I didn't look at the numbers. I taught that workshop like it was 300 or 3,000. I was so excited. We only had a few. But you know what? I was saying, man, perhaps God will work something out in the lives of these individuals. Oh, and let me tell you something. One of the 3 individuals was a man who works for our association in Dallas. And after the workshop, listen to this. After the workshop, he said, Tony, hey, can you come back to Dallas and teach that workshop? I said, I'll be happy to. I don't care about the numbers. I'll be happy to. I didn't even know he was going to be in North Carolina. We taught the workshop in Dallas. 84 people, from 3 to 84, 50 pastors. And out of the 50 pastors, we had 6 pastors to go on a mission trip to Ecuador, 5 of whom have never been out of the United States before. Oh, and had I put God in a box, and had I been so discouraged over a lack of numbers, I would have been so discouraged and have given up on God. But you know what? Perhaps God wants to work out for us what we cannot work out for ourselves. And real quickly here, perhaps we should, as I see in the context, thank God for our supporters. Perhaps we should thank the Lord for our supporters. Look at verse 7. His armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Turn yourself, and here I am with you according to your desire. Man, you know what? Jonathan must have been so enthusiastic and so passionate about what he was doing. Yes, the armor bearer's job was to do his job, but in the face of all of this adversity, you know what? It was something, had to be something about Jonathan that encouraged and inspired this person. He supported. Heart and soul support. Loyalty. You know what? Loyalty is great. Loyalty is something. Perhaps the Lord wants us to be thankful for supporters. And then I want to say in closing here, I see something else in this context. I have several more perhaps, but I'll close with this one. Perhaps this, what I call this crazy thing, is a God thing. I see this here. And let me begin reading with verse 8. Then Jonathan said, behold, we will cross over to the men and reveal ourselves to them. If they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand in our place and not go up to them. Look at verse 10. But if they say, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has given them into our hands. And this shall be the sign to us. This is humanly crazy. You've read this before. Read it over and over again. Read this here. And not a covert, but overt. We're going to show ourselves in warfare. And we are going to climb up while the enemy is looking down. I've never been in the military, but listen, I know, and I've been around enough military folks to know that if you're on the high ground, you have the advantage. This was a crazy thing. But perhaps the Lord is saying, you know, some crazy things, some things that perhaps are not, listen, some things that perhaps are not logical in your life, maybe it's theological though. Maybe this crazy thing is a God thing. Maybe God is in this. Have you ever been there? Maybe God is in this. Maybe the Lord is leading us to do something that is outside of our comfort zone. Maybe he's leading us to do something that just blows our minds. This crazy thing was a God thing. And you know the story. The Lord rocked. Amazing what happened. And the folks who were in hiding, and even, you know, in the text too, you'll read there in verse 21, now the Hebrews who were with the Philistines, previously who went up with them all around the camp, even they also turned to be with the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. You know what? Perhaps it's time for the church to start fighting on the right side again. These folks, even, you know, they went with the Philistines. And, you know, perhaps the Lord is saying, hey, it's time for us to start fighting on the right team again. We need to tell our church members, you know, it's time. Maybe perhaps the Lord is saying, get back on the right side of life. Get back on the right side of family. Get back on the right side of everything that I've written. Come out of hiding, because God has given us the victory, and we have the victory. And if there's one takeaway, I want you to know that with God on our side, we are victorious. The victory is ours. A preacher that passed away some while ago, he tells the story of when he was a son, a little lad, probably 7 or 8 years old. He was just a little old boy. His father took him hunting. We talk about this whole victory piece. Took him hunting, and his dad had him down on the ground. And they were out there hunting, and his dad had the rifle, and he was laying on the ground, and they found their target. And he aimed, and he was steady. And then he shot. And the deer ran off. Ran off. And this preacher said, when he was a boy, he said to his dad, Dad, you miss. He's running away. The father said, Son, we're victorious. I got it. But Dad, he's gone. He's running, knocking down the brushes and the bush. He says, Son, I got him. I got him. Dad, I don't see the animal. Where is he? He said, Son, we're victorious. I got him. They walked a little ways, and there they saw the dead beast. And he said, I told you, we're victorious. I got him. And with God on our side, sometimes it seems like the enemy is so loose and he's wrecking havoc and knocking things over, wrecking our lives and bringing so much adversity. But I hear our God saying, you know what? I got him. I got him. I hear my Lord Jesus saying on Calvary's cross, when I hung, bled, and died, and was buried in that borrowed tomb, and when I got up with all power in my hand, I got him. I dealt him a death blow. And you may not be able to see it in full right now, but we have the victory. Perhaps we ought to praise God for everything that he's done. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for the life of Jonathan. And we pray, Lord God, that as we have read your scripture and have viewed principles, that you would help us, Lord, always to know that we have the victory in you. And let us leave not doubting, but having faith in the things in you who control the things, Lord God. Have faith in you. Help us to leave here saying perhaps God will work for us. And we give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.